Hello, welcome to Easter Sunday. That's what we call this, because it's the day we remember that Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus, who was crucified and was laid to rest in a tomb. And I'm wanting to share with you today some remarks around Mark and chapter 15 and verse 46. I want to take the words, "They rolled a stone against the door of the tomb." In 46, it says, "They rolled the stone against the door of the tomb." I'm using the New King James Version here. And it's very important to understand that they thought that they had sealed Jesus in the tomb. I'm here to tell you today that up from the grave he arose a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Jesus is alive today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Now, there was a time when I didn't understand that. And there are times in all of our lives when we didn't understand that. But let me recount for you very quickly, please, that we discover something fascinating. Because at 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was crucified. At noon, there was a supernatural darkness over all the land. And at 3 o'clock, he breathed out his spirit and said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." In the evening of that dreadful day, that decisive day, that wonderful day, that day of days. At the evening, two men went to Pilate and said, "Will you allow us to take his body?" And it looked as if death's victory had enshrouded the Lord Jesus. And that would have meant a world without Christ. When the loved one is gone, there is loss. Am I not telling the truth, dear widow? Am I not telling the truth, dear widower? Am I not telling the truth, dear orphan? You see, there is a tremendous thing here. When a loved one is gone, there is loss, and it's very personal. It's not sentimental at all. It's a personal thing. When Jesus died, there was colossal loss amongst the disciples, and they didn't know what to do or where to look or where to go. They knew his word. They loved his word. But oh my, in their hearts, there was loss. Jesus was crucified. He must be buried in life. He was misunderstood. He was spat on. He was hated without a cause. He was rejected by people. He became the song of drunkards. Oh, but I have to tell you now, they very tenderly with the women laid him in a tomb. Nicodemus, who had asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" and had heard Jesus say that you must be born again. And Jesus repeated, "Marvel not, don't be surprised that I'm saying to you, ye must be born again. For that which is flesh, and that which is spirit." And Nicodemus believed, we think, but his believism was very secret for 3 years, actually, or thereabouts. But now he is with Joseph of Arimathea, and the two of them take Jesus down from the cross, and the picture is so enormous. They take Jesus down from the cross, and they lay his body in a tomb. I've seen that tomb, and you will find in that tomb that there is a ledge. And when the account in John's Gospel in chapter 20, when Mary stood without, when she stooped down and she looked into the sepulchre, she seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Had is the past tense. He was not there. I believe these two angels were cherubims. Maybe they were seraphims. I don't know. But obviously they were there. If you go back into the Old Testament scripture, you will discover that there are the measurements of the mercy seat. And as I looked at this tomb, known as Gordon's tomb, to those who are travelers in the Middle East and in Jerusalem in particular, it is about the same size as the mercy seat, this ledge in the tomb. And the two cherubims, apparently, were like the cherubims that were on the top of the mercy seat. It is God having mercy on man. Jesus was laid in the tomb. You see, if you look at this on this resurrection morning, you see that there was a dead idea about God. In John 14, Philip says to Jesus, he says, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Jesus is shocked that he says this, because Jesus has taught the disciples many things. And he has told them over and over again that I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. And here is Philip saying, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Show us the sign. Show us the lineage. Show us God the Father and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? I and my Father are one." Can't you see this, Philip? Oh, to see that Jesus is risen from the dead, up from that grave he arose, mighty triumph for his foes, to see that Jesus had conquered death, and death could not hold him. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, but death, the grave, could not hold him. He was gone. He was gone. It's important to see this, because if we don't, we will miss the idea that there is a dead idea about God. And I want to say this to you, my Saviour lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I serve a risen Saviour, and he's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. So says the hymn writer, and I believe every word of it. Every man reveals his God. Doesn't matter how he reveals his God, he does. Whether his God be himself or the God of a man, the God of whatever, a man will reveal his God. If it's the God of passivity or the God of war, he will reveal his God. And he will reveal his God in the attitudes of his life and in the way that he lives his life and conducts his life. Man reveals his God. The God of a man is that in which he yields the devotion of his life in thought, in energy, in passion, in desire, in enterprise, in truth. But we see Jesus, and Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Grace, mercy, justice, peace, righteousness, all come from Jesus. So that the apostle in John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We saw Jesus, and this is what we saw. Now there is another thing that is dead in the crucifixion of Christ. There lay a dead ideal of humanity. Jesus walked amongst people, healed people, gave sight to the blind, healing to the sick. Jesus caused the lame to leap with joy. Jesus caused those whose minds were demented because of some evil spirit to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding and that would not fade away because he cast out the evil spirit. Jesus brought back from the dead those who were dead and gave them new life. Jesus had great power. They saw all of this, but now the ideal was gone. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life." If we follow, we will see in him light and glory. But here Jesus lay dead, and they expected Jesus to be in the tomb, and they expected the women who had gone to the tomb to anoint Jesus with new, clean, smelling, wonderful spices. And so the ideal of humanity was gone to them. You see, there was an aloofness about Jesus that held men away from him, and a meekness which brought all men to him. Into the closest part of him. I think one of the most shattering pieces of scripture is in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, where Jesus is faced with a leper. And he said, "What do you want?" And the leper said, "I want to be healed. I want to be made whole." These are the words that I think are fantastic, because a leper wasn't to be touched. And Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "Be thou made whole." How wonderful! How exciting for this leper! Maybe his nose was gone. Maybe his fingers were gone, or his feet, or his toes. Maybe other parts of his body were gone. But when Jesus said, "Be thou made whole," the leper was made whole. You get that picture? Why, if he had lost his fingers, he was counting his fingers. If he had lost his nose, he was feeling his nose. If he had lost his toes or his feet, he was now standing upon his toes and his feet. And what a great thing. He was made whole. But the great thing was, Jesus reached out and touched him. You may be the foulest sinner. You may be the silliest person. You may be the most thoughtless person, the most immoral person. But if you'll turn your life toward Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, you'll find the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace, and he will reach out and touch you. What is the misery of your heart, even on this Easter day? What is keeping you far from Jesus on this Easter day? Is it sin of some sort? Dear friend, come to this Lord Jesus Christ and hear him say, "Be thou made whole." Feel the touch of the Lord Jesus upon your heart. Feel and know the touch of his precious nail-printed hand, and know that you are cleansed, washed in the blood. You see, the Lord Jesus reveals himself in Jesus. Secular and sacred are not two realms to be forever kept apart. In him, every day, every circumstance, every hour, every condition, we find ourselves in a vast eternity. Everything was relative to eternity with Jesus. Jesus was surprisingly wonderful, beautiful in his revelation of what human life can be. Have you got that life? Here's a third thing I'd like to show you. In that tomb lay dead the redemption of man. Jesus had said that man should be redeemed. The word of God had said man will be redeemed. God had said, "I'll send my only begotten Son to redeem you." But here he lay dead. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. New, refreshing, passionate, pure. It's an unutterable foolishness. To every man that does not believe, Jesus is maybe wonderful in his redemption. To those that do believe, he is very precious. But how odd it is to a man who does not believe, who does not come to Christ, who does not know the presence of Jesus. How unutterably sad is that man. You see, he could touch the false and transmute it into all time, the bad, and make it good. The sorrows, the sighs, the wounds, the weariness, the agonies, the heartbreaks. He can lay his hand on poor, withered, unworthy lives and make them new, beautiful, purposeful. This was the passion of his purpose, and Jesus produces that. Now, you may read books about Jesus. You may read books about the crucifixion and the resurrection. You may even see films about the life of Christ. You may do all of these things. You've heard the stories of Jesus. Well, they need to be told again. There's an old hymn that says, "Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear scenes by the wayside, tales by the sea." Oh, Jesus is the one that loves you, and Jesus is the one that can change you. But there in that tomb that day, the people that went there saw, as they put Jesus in the tomb, they saw dead the redemption of man. That's why on this day we sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today." Hallelujah! Christ the Lord is risen. Do you praise him? Do you give him glory? Do you give him honor? Do you seek his power? Do you rejoice with Jesus? Oh, how wonderful! Oh, how marvelous is this precious Savior to you when you believe. You see, all of the trials are wiped away. All of the furrows on your brow are smoothed out. all of the excitement of the past without Christ is shown for what it is, ashes, rags and tatters, and is lost because of the taintedness of sin. But now, if you trust this dear, precious Lord Jesus, now, if you see with me that the stone is rolled away and Jesus is not in that tomb, you will see that redemption lives. Humanity has the opportunity to live. And the idea about God is more lively than the idea of any of these other religions that have crept into our society. I would like to show you one more thing that lay dead in that tomb. It was the religion of man. Man had had a religion. Oh, he does. Man has lots of religious thoughts, but we have to be very careful. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So here is a great statement that Jesus has made, but it's dead if it's only religion. If you're loving your neighbor as yourself without believing that God is God, and that you're loving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, if you're not doing that, my dear friend, there is a great collapse of understanding in your heart and life. You're not real. There is something that isn't working correctly in your soul. And that something brings to you a great depravity. Jesus believed in God. Man needs to believe in God. He said to the people around him, "You believe in God, then believe also in me." Once more, he says, "I and my Father are one." You have to understand this oneness that comes from the eternity and goes on into eternity, took time off, as it were, to come into this world to save sinners and to bring us to Christ and to bring us to believe that this God that so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son is the God of whom it is written, God is love. All these dreadful things that happen to you are usually because Satan is at work and our enemy is Satan. But I have some great news for you. If you read the book of Jude and if you read in the two letters of the Epistle of Peter, you will discover that Jesus descended into hell and preached to the spirits that were held in hell. In other words, something happened when Jesus was crucified. Jesus was able to enter the spirit world and Satan could not stop him. In my imagination, I see the imps of hell leaning against the gates of hell to keep them shut, to not let him in, because he was the shining light and hell was full of darkness and fire and terror and horror, and it was all the justice of God being meted out to lost souls. And I imagine in my imagination how they tried to keep those doors shut, but the psalmist says that the gates could not prevail against him, not even the gates of hell, who clanged tight and clanged with a great noise, shut behind those that are lost and who go into a lost eternity. How can we pry open these doors? Well, we can't. Isn't that terrifying? But Jesus could. Jesus went in and preached to the spirits that were lost. And then we read that he turned around and walked back out. And this time the imps of hell, in my imagination, are on the other side of the door, trying to keep it shut so that he can't get out. But such is the power of God. Such is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the power of the one that beat death. Such is the one that made death so limp and useless. Such is he who loved us and gave himself for us. Such is the Lord Jesus. Dear friend, he is alive. And this power is yours today. This might is yours now. This great, wonderful Lord Jesus is ours. and he can live in your heart, and he can live in your soul, and he can change your life completely. Will you allow him into your heart? Will you open your heart to this Lord Jesus, who has more power than Satan, more power than hell, more power than death? Oh, what a precious Lord, what a mighty God, what an everlasting Father, what a Counselor, what a Prince of Peace of God that passes understanding, what a Savior, what a Savior. Do you know him? You see, dead laid the religion of man. You may have all kinds of religion, but if you have no Jesus, you are lost, without hope. You see, to him, he invites all the helpless and hopeless cases. I remember at a time once when I was very, very low and had lost dear loved ones, and I remembered the hymn, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide," and the words of the end of that first verse, "Help of the helpless, abide with me." Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I in you, you will be one with me as I and my Father are one." That is God's great desire, to abide in us. How privileged. You see, there are no helpless cases with Jesus. He died to realize the latent, paralyzed possibilities of man. Where is this Jesus, so wonderful and kind? In the tomb? No. When they rolled away the stone from the tomb, as we read here in Mark 15 and verse 46, as they rolled away this stone from the tomb, dear friends, something remarkable took place. There was no Jesus there. His conception of God was denied by the religion of man. All things that opposed God joined to slay Jesus. But his conception of man was denied. We read that we will not have this man to reign over us. They mocked Jesus. His passion to redeem was denied. The wisdom and philosophy of the age was to rise up and call him foolish. But we need not be worthless things. And as the worthless things that we so often have become, we need to understand that we were worth redeeming in God's mind. Religion was derided, but it is quenched when he is buried. Joseph asked for the body of Jesus, sound and complete. Pilate gave him a corpse, and we cry out, "That's ruin. It is the ruin of man. To be a corpse is to be dead." But Pilate gave to man a corpse. Religion is a corpse. Jesus is life. And for me to live, says the Apostle Paul, is life. And for me to live in Christ is not just life, but it's abundant life. And we have to understand what Jesus was saying. Let me say this to you. Let me read you this lovely old hymn. "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. In simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like them without a word rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath rest by Galilee, O calm hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity interpreted by love. With the deep hush subduing all our words and works that drown the tender whisper of thy call, as noiseless let thy blessing fall as fell thy manna down. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. O still, small voice of calm. That was written in the 1800s, and I would suggest to you that this day, with all that goes on in our lives, we hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest, lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." Pray with me, please. We thank you for this glorious day of remembering the resurrection of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for it, and we believe in him and put our trust in him. And we love you, Lord, more and more, day by day. Bless all who hear these words for Jesus' sake. Amen. This is Cyril Stevens saying, "The Lord be with you and bless you and keep you, and his peace be upon you." Goodbye. Thank you for listening.